grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm excited to be with you all today. I know, well, my kids know me, but the rest of you don't.
I know you.
You know me? You've seen me here before?
Yeah, because I played with you.
Yes. Yeah, we've been sitting in the back or over on that side. We've been jumping around, but we have enjoyed being here with you all. And I'm really excited to be able to be here with you today. There's a lesson this morning, the first lesson, that I think is, well, it's one of my favorites, actually. It's the story of a boy named Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Have any of you heard that story of Jeremiah before?
I know.
You do? Where have you heard the story of Jeremiah? You think at church? Well, good. Yes. I really hope so. I'm pretty sure you probably have heard it here before. But it's a story about a boy named Jeremiah. And he, maybe he's 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that. And God comes to him and says, you are going to be my prophet. Do you know what a prophet is? What is a prophet? You've only heard the word prophet? Well, a prophet is a messenger, and God's messenger is the prophet that we talk about in Scripture. They are the ones who go out and tell people of all ages, kings, queens, the people in town, kids, they are the ones, the prophets go out and tell the message of God to them. Now, Jeremiah was just a kid. He was pretty afraid. I don't have the words to say the things that you want me to say. And God said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I am going to put the words in your mouth, and I will be with you. Now, the prophet's job wasn't an easy job at all. They sometimes had good things to say to people, but then other times they had really hard things to say. And Jeremiah didn't think that he was just a kid. Who was going to listen to him? But God promised that God would be there with him and use him to share the message with God's people. And not only with God's people, the people who knew God, but to people who didn't know God. Now, sometimes I can remember as a kid, an adult will ask me to do something, and I was afraid. I wasn't sure I could do it. But in our lesson today, we hear that God calls each of us, whether we are a kid, whether we are an adult, God is calling each of us to go out and to share God's message. And that is something that I know that even though you may be afraid, each one of you has the gift to be able to go out and to share God's message with other kids, other friends, but then also with adults too. We are all gifted and all called to go out and share God's message. Thank you, boys and girls, for sharing with me today.
Jesus loves the little children.
If you're going to church school, you can go to church school, or you can go back to Sunday school, or go back to your fruit. Phew.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, O Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 71 responsively. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not intolerable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It is that time of year again when folks anxiously gather around a hometown hero, wondering if this is the year their side will win. It comes down to just one to determine which side will lose and which side will win. Many folks leading up to this weekend have speculated as to which side it'll be, and thousands gather to see the final result. Will Punxsutawney Phil see his shadow or not? Will there be six more weeks of winter, or will we expect an early spring? Not sure which side you rooted for this weekend, but I'm learning around here, despite the recent rainy weather, and regardless of what Phil's actual prediction is, spring will be here sooner than later. Though I know for thousands across the country this week, especially those who live through the polar vortex, an early spring cannot come soon enough. So yesterday, thousands cheered on Phil's prediction of an early spring, and they were so glad that the hometown hero didn't disappoint. This Sunday, we hear the story of two hometown heroes. In our first lesson, Jeremiah, who is still yet a boy, is called by God to bring messages to nations and to kingdoms. He's called to pluck up and to pull down. He's called to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. These are not the popular messages everyone wishes to hear, and some are not happy that Jeremiah's mission extends outside of God's chosen people. It seems that this youth will bring messages of disappointment before messages of hope are heard or realized. It is hard to be the one who speaks the unpopular message, but that is the prophet's job after all. In the gospel reading today, it's a continuation from last week. Even the first verse kind of blends between the two. In that reading from today, though, the hometown boy, he has won over the crowd. Now, you may remember from last week, if you were here, that Pastor Karen charged each of us to remember that today, meaning now, then, and in the future, the scripture has been fulfilled. We repeated together the words of Isaiah to embolden us in our call as followers of Jesus. It reminded me of the words we affirm in the covenant made in our baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Maybe it was for you, just as it was for me, a needed boost to get me going through the week. The words Jesus said were amazing and are amazing, and they are filled with God's graciousness. But I have to admit that after I left, it was really hard to live into. Did I really trust the good news not only proclaimed to me, but that I repeated that I would follow? I guess in a way I was like the crowd in the synagogue who sat in amazement at the words Jesus said, but still not certain I believe them or could live into them. Is not this Joseph's son? The boy we knew from childhood, the carpenter's son? Really, what does he know? We've heard about his healings in Capernaum, but he's never done anything like that here. He's just the hometown boy. How could this kid teach us anything? And all the while, Jesus sits there, knowing what is going through their minds. Some of you may be familiar with the show Kids Say the Darndest Things, or maybe you've actually lived this show in your life. Kids bursting in at inopportune times with a funny statement, or one that calls us to account. In seminary, we were cautioned not to ask questions during a children's sermon, because you never know the answer you'll get, and it could derail the whole thing. I have to admit, though, that I like to ask questions, because the questions or the comments that a child will make, more often than not, hits the truth on the nail. I know the truth that Jeremiah spoke as a youth to a desperate people, called them out on their behavior. And in the passage from Luke today, although Jesus is not a child, the crowd still sees him as the boy from down the street. Jesus speaks aloud the thoughts of those gathered, and the crowd does not like his reproach. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. Elijah helped the widow in Zarephath, but none other, and Elisha healed Naaman of Syria. This week, when I watched the movie First Man. It was the movie of Neil Armstrong and the first steps of humankind on the moon. But there was one particular scene that kept replaying in my mind. Jan, Neil's wife, has had enough of his silence and lack of outward emotion as Neil prepares to leave for the mission to the moon. She demands that Neil tell their sons that he might not come back. As the family is gathered around the kitchen table, there are awkward glances and shifting in one another's seats, and it's the youngest son who starts the conversation. And at one point notes to their dad, "You won't be home for my swim meet." To which Neil, sitting there, wringing his hands, slowly shakes his head, "No." And he answers him, "I'm sorry." And then the oldest son asks, "Do you think you're coming back?" Neil answers, "It is their intention to do so." But his oldest son states, "But you might not." It's a statement for which the whole family fears, but the oldest son, still much a boy himself, speaks with a conviction and an understanding. All the while, Neil is sitting there, wringing his hands, having listened to these accusations and questions that brought reality to light. The scene in the synagogue with Jesus today is the moment when he speaks with authority and knowledge. And the people who know him best look around, and although initially amazed and impressed, they become enraged. Their sin takes over because he has spoken a truth that they cannot handle. He knows their thoughts and names them out loud. He knows what insecurities linger in their minds. He knows what they desire for him to do in their town, just like he had done in Capernaum. And he knows they will not accept him as a prophet, teacher, or preacher. What Jesus has to say to them and the message that he brings just by reading from Isaiah is too much for them to hear, believe, and live into. It's not the first time that has happened, nor will it be the last. Even today, the words preached among us or read to us from Scripture cause us to wring our hands and sometimes become enraged. There was one Sunday after my husband preached a sermon on the prodigal son that a member of the congregation came up to him afterwards and said, "I'm not saying anything was bad with your sermon. I just didn't like what Jesus had to say." My husband responded, "I don't like what Jesus had to say either." Later, when our daughter heard that encounter, she told us, "Well, I liked what Jesus had to say." And when we asked her, "Was all of it easy to like?" she thought about it for a bit and said, "No. It would be really hard to love someone who had done all of those things and then to completely forget about all of them, to welcome them back with open arms." What Jesus calls us to is hard. Hard to hear, hard to believe, hard to live. And in our reading today, it is so hard for the people to accept Jesus' words, words coming from their hometown boy, that they become enraged and they want to kill Jesus. But they didn't succeed in their violent act, for Jesus slipped away from the midst of them and went on his way. I think oftentimes we cannot accept the words of Jesus either. But it is the word that convicts us, that calls us, and that sends us out into God's world. And it is the word that saves us. At the same time, we know we struggle, that we're going to fall short. And we'll fall short every single time. We strive to live in our calling. But after we fail, we return here. And we receive forgiveness for our lack of action. And we taste the cup of forgiveness. And we are again equipped to be sent out, to try again, and to know that Jesus has gone before us. See, Jesus has made his way out of the angry, confused crowd, and he's made his way onto the road and onto the way to Jerusalem, on the way to another hill, on the way to the cross. Well, all of our doubts and anger and confusion will be paid for. And thanks be to God for that. Because that is the hometown hero we so desperately need. Amen.